Christian Parenting.
Welcome to the Living Wholehearted Podcast. We are Jeff and Tara Mattson, a husband and wife team who is shrinking the integrity gap in our own lives and helping others do the same. I'm a leadership and organizational development coach, and Tara is a licensed marriage and family therapist.
We believe that if you have a following, you are a leader, and how you lead matters. Whether you are leading in the home, work, or community, we are bringing you biblical, clinical, and relational wisdom to help you in every relationship that matters most to you. None of us do this perfectly, but we are leaning into the reality of our humanity and profound wisdom of grace. I just wanted to take a moment to speak to all you females out there who are leading in a place of influence or with a title, maybe in business, in nonprofits, or in ministry, and you're looking for a place for a mentor, a coach, someone to come alongside you in a confidential space that can help you really navigate the challenges you are facing as a female leader. We are passionate about helping leaders live with integrity here at Living Wholehearted. And integrity is more than just doing the right thing when nobody's looking. It's about bringing all of who we are, our minds, our bodies, our hearts, our souls, before God and before others. And this takes great intentionality. In fact, these cohorts are a slow and steady drip within the context of 10 to 12 intentional leaders from around the country, where you get to have individual coaching that's very customized to you and your leadership, helps you understand your story, your wiring, and your limitations, and learning to live within your design, as well as what is toxic or what is healthy leadership look like in your systems. And you get to have group sessions with our executive coaching team, that includes me. And you also get to have two-day retreats out in the Willamette Valley in Oregon. It is spectacular here. In fact, some people say they sign up for our cohorts just to be able to come out to Oregon because it's incredible terrain out here. We would love to have you if you are a female leader looking for a community, a coach, and a place to really grow. Sadly, women often don't have the same access to leadership development as men do in the workplace. And so we want to provide this for you. Maybe you're an emerging leader who is longing for a place where you can unpack the desires of your heart and to do this well so you don't become one of those leaders that burns out down or has a moral failure or is living outside of your concentric circles and your priorities and trying to wrestle with juggling, how do I do life at home and in my call? Or maybe you're a seasoned leader who just needs a place to be able to unpack all the things that you've been carrying all these years and to really make sense and meaning to grieve and process so that you can run your race, that you can finish your race well. Wherever you're at in the spectrum of your leadership, this cohort is for you. And we're so excited to be able to come alongside you. Applications are now open in the month of May. Our next women's cohort, which will start in July and it runs for a year. More details, go to livingwholehearted.com/cohort and you can apply there today. All right, so body image is a struggle I find pings leaders old and young, women and men. And you have heard me talk about developing healthy body image with our children, especially our daughters through our Courageous Girls and Raising Confident Daughter courses. I also have shared my personal battle with bulimia in my book, Courageous, Being Daughters Rooted in Grace. And I've worked with many clients over the years with a wide variety of body image issues. So today I have a fellow counselor and a fitness lover who has found restoration in what God says about body image and the striving that tends to come with it. Rachel Gilbert, an MMFT, which is marriage and family therapist, is a wife, mom, trauma-informed therapist, owner of the BBC Health, and podcast host of Real Talk with Rachel. She is the new author of Image Restored, which comes out March 2023 with Esther Press. And she combines her clinical expertise and her personal experience to help women overcome fear and insecurity to walk confidently in their God-given dreams. A frequent speaker and article writer, Rachel lives near Dallas with her husband, Matt, and their three children. Welcome, Rachel. I'm so glad to have you today.
Thank you, Tara, for having me.
Well, here at Living Wholehearted, we just talk all the time about every leader, whether you have a following, if you have a following, you are a leader. So parents, CEOs of Fortune 500s, pastors, wherever you are at, you're leading, and how you lead matters. Well, most of us are leading out of our stories, the things that we're aware of, the things we're not aware of. And as counselors, we've done a lot of work on our stories. So Rachel, start by telling us a little bit about your history, maybe a nugget of what shapes who you are and why you're doing what you do today.
I love stories just like you. I think it's probably one of the big things that drew me to being a counselor, because I'm like, oh, I just want to sit and hear stories all day long. That's fun. Yeah. So I grew up as the baby of five children, a pastor's kid, and my parents were in ministry my entire upbringing. And so I grew up in the church, and people would jokingly refer to me as little Rachel, quiet, timid little Rachel, because I was the youngest and just didn't do a whole bunch of talking for myself. And so now when people see what I do today, people kind of go, wait, what? Anybody who knew me when I was younger, they're like, how did you get there? I'm so confused at how that happened. And that's just God for you. But when I was in high school, I had an abnormal hip problem that doctors really couldn't figure out what was happening with me. And at the time, their only piece of advice was, we need you to stop exercising or playing sports and then lose some weight. Because I was just, you know, a little bit overweight as a kid and growing up and into high school. And I didn't know how to lose weight. They didn't tell me how to. So I just stopped eating candy bars, stopped drinking soda. And within a month, I dropped about 30 pounds. And it was that first time in my life that I had ever tasted to see what it was like to lose weight, get attention from it, got my first boyfriend, a very unhealthy, toxic relationship there. And from there, spent years yo-yo dieting. And it was all hidden. I had one friend that we would do some disordered eating things together, but it was very much just this thing that I did in secret on my own, and nobody really knew what was happening with me other than when they would compliment me on my weight loss and how great I looked. Mm-hmm. And all the times that people would tell me how great and amazing I looked, they didn't realize how deep down, how badly I was hurting and the things that I was doing behind closed doors to quote unquote look as great as they were telling me I was looking. And so I realize now in hindsight that in that season, the enemy took something that could have been a good thing of, you know, giving up some candy bars. Maybe that was a good thing, right? And he twisted it and made me believe this lie that my identity was based on and founded in what I look like. And then it started to go even deeper than that. You know, body image, but then just image in general, like that fear of man, what do people think of me, and being dictated by that. And so for years, just even went on and got my undergraduate degree in exercise physiology. And that's where my husband and I met, because I just wanted to know as much as I could about the body, and was a stay-at-home mom, taught group fitness for a decade, then went back to school. And that's when I got my MMFT and became a counselor. And lots of cool stories in between. I mean, I could sit here for the next half hour and tell you all the cool things that God did in my life to get me from where I was in high school, hiding in shame and insecurity and doubt and my identity and all the wrong things, to where I am now. But the biggest thing I would say that happened was when I was pregnant with my second daughter. I had gone into a doctor's appointment, and I'm sure you know this, Tara, but because you've shared your story publicly, but when you have an eating disorder or body dysmorphia, when you get pregnant, for me anyhow, it really came into the light, and I could no longer hide some of those things, because then other people started to notice. And so thankfully I had a really great Christian doctor that I had a moment where I did a weigh-in, and it really just shattered me, and should have been a beautiful moment in my life, right? I was pregnant with my sweet baby girl. And instead, I was a mess over what was happening to my body that felt like out of control. And he met me with so much grace. After I weighed, I was certain. I was just staring at the floor when I was waiting for him to come in the room, because I was certain I was about to be in trouble because I'd gained all this weight. And I was certain he was about to shame me and scold me. And instead, he just met me with grace. He was like, "What's going on, Rachel? Let's talk about this." And he was the first person I ever spoke to and shared, okay, this is really what I'm dealing with. You know, like wow. These struggles, that's really what's happening here. And so opening that crack, it was scary. It was me cracking the door, letting a healthcare professional in, And then I was able to leave that appointment and sat in my car and cried and let Jesus in. And that's when the real healing began and my journey to freedom and healing began, and let my husband in and just started letting trusted people in and started to get that healing that I needed so that then now I can turn around and help walk some more people out of the same place where I once was.
You're saying quite a few things I resonate with so much, but I also think a lot of people who struggle with any sort of the spectrum of body image or body dysphoria, there's this disconnect from our body and a inability to process, to use our voice. So you talk about even that in your story, being the quiet one, not really having a space. I mean, a family of five kids, it was probably hard to get any word in. But that part of the piece of the story, and then the performance, the expectations of others and trying to live an image. And then it just kind of takes over. I mean, people can get so much further down the line than they ever imagined. But then you talk about the power of confession and coming out of hiding. So let's just talk a little bit more as counselor to counselor, but also women who have struggled here and get it on a deep, deep level. What do you think is some of the root issues of people who really do struggle on this particular issue? I want to say, Rachel, I have met women who do not struggle here. And so it's not every single woman's issue. But those of us that do struggle, what do you think is at the core here?
The core of the struggle or the core of not being able to talk about it?
Both. Let's start with the struggle and then let's talk about why we can't talk about it.
Yeah. Well, I do feel like the struggle can, while there are some major themes, I do feel like it is also individual. And I know that's what everybody gets annoyed when you're like, well, it also is individual. But, you know, we talk about core beliefs and things that happen. All of our stories shape us. And I do believe that we're all wired certain ways, and especially trauma in particular, unresolved trauma, unprocessed emotions, those things almost always, as you know, will show up at some point as either an addiction or even eating disorders, all kinds of things. There's almost always some unresolved trauma happening there. And I know for me in my journey, I did have some trauma that I had to go to my counselor. I don't know if people know that, but counselors have counselors, and process some things with as the Lord brought those things up and get some healing on those areas. But then also, so that's obviously very specific. There's some unresolved trauma and emotional things that are happening there that need to be resolved. But then even just our own upbringing, right? If we were brought up in a family that these things were a really big deal. And because like you said, some people don't struggle, but then some people were brought up in families where the weight was a big deal and paying attention to what they were eating was a big deal. And so they were at a very early age were taught, this is a big deal. Kind of like at an early age, people are taught, you need to make good money. And if you don't, like, I don't even know what to tell you. You're going to live a rough life if you don't make good money. Well, it's that same thing that we can also. So those are kind of different things, but I do feel like those are a couple of the common things. And both of those, if you look at them, they go back to identity even and kind of clamoring for. I know that was me especially clamoring for, if I don't have this, what am I? Like, if I'm not that, what am I? If people don't look at me and see something, who does that make me? What kind of worth does that make me? Because I know for me, I had a boyfriend who, yeah, is quote unquote love. It rose and it fell based on how heavy I was. And until I lost the weight, he didn't want to be around me. And so that's an extreme example, but a couple, I'd love to hear your thoughts too on it, on some themes you've seen there.
No, I love that you're pointing that out. It does vary, but the common theme is often trauma of some sort, and trauma is anything out of the ordinary, which always surprises us. But really, you know, if you're driving down the road and you get in a car accident, that's trauma. But how it's resolved or the impact of trauma is different if we have a place to process it. Then it doesn't stay in our bodies in the same way. So unresolved trauma leaks in really funky ways, right? Yep. So it is interesting that our emotions hang out in our body. So the body keeps score. By Dr. Vander Kolk really brought that to the surface and helping people understand that. And as Christians, we sometimes forget the body. We like only want to talk about the spirit, right? And even our mind, but how powerful those emotions are And so when they haven't been given attention, they start to really throw temper tantrums. And then the other thing I heard you saying over here was, what did your family value? So was it, if it's money, if it's weight? Now in our culture, it's so interesting, but that's constantly the thing that people will say to you. Oh, you look so pretty today. Or I love that outfit. Or have you lost 15 pounds? You look so great, right? So living in this Western culture, it identity, weight is like predominant. We're always talking about how young we need to be. It's a constant, Christian or not. So, and you went into the fitness community. So talk about the subtle, like give examples of the subtle ways that we value our outward appearance and create these kind of jails for ourselves that affect our identity. What are some other comments you hear, or you notice that women struggle with?
Well, you mentioned fitness, and I will tell a story. This one was not subtle. It was very in your face, but it stuck with me for a long time. And it was, I was going through a fitness training and you had to do, it was a whole weekend certification. And then at the end, you had to do a video recording and their head trainer came in. And remember how I told you in the beginning that I was the shy, quiet. If to be honest, even today, if you meet me in person, I'm still the quiet person. So I'm still not the loudest person in the room. I have learned how to use my voice when God asks me to. And anyhow, in that training, I was the quiet one. But then when I got up to teach, I kind of just came out of my shell. And that's what happens to me. I get behind a microphone and I think the Holy Spirit just comes over me and I get bold. And so I taught this class. And afterwards, the instructor who was critiquing me, he said, and he did this in front of the whole group of people, he was just telling me how great I was. And he said that comment, he said, I honestly did not expect you to be that confident of an instructor, because he said, just your personality all weekend, you barely said two words and now you got up. And he said, that was awesome. So he gave me all this praise about my actual ability to do something. But then he said, but if you want to teach for our company, you have got to lose that mama pouch. And he said, how old's your son? And I said, he's 3. And he said, okay, what's your excuse? He said, you cannot, he's like, lose your mama pouch. And then yes, I will approve you as an instructor for our company. And that obviously is not a subtle comment, but it is the overarching theme of definitely the fitness world. But even just, it confirmed a message that I had struggled with for so long, and just that if you don't look the part, if your image doesn't meet our criteria, you do not have a seat at our table.
Yeah, that is so overt and yet so normalized. I mean, I'm shocked at the way that we talk about ourselves, the way we talk about one another, and Christian or not, we're doing that. And I think about modeling to our daughters. I mean,
as Christian parents, there's so many things that we want to teach our kids about God and His love for us. But leading your family in faith can be overwhelming. What are the most important things to teach, and where do we even begin? I'm really excited to tell you about a great resource from Christian Parenting that will make teaching faith at home simple, engaging, and fun. Love God and Love Others is our 4-week family challenge to help you teach your kids the greatest commandment of all time, to love God and to love others.
Each week, you'll focus on loving God with different aspects of who you are, and it includes a few pages on a portion of the Great Commandment to equip you for the week ahead, scriptures and points of truth for your family to reflect on together, fun challenges to try with your family. And this resource is an amazing opportunity for your family to grow closer to each other and to God as you learn about His steadfast love for you, and you learn how to love Him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. For more information, go get your copy and head over to cpgive.org. That's cpgive.org. And you talked about even the relationships. I do think we're drawn. I mean, that dynamic of confident women will attract a man who can accept her at all places, if she can accept herself at all places. But we do have that law of attraction. If we're struggling there, we tend to marry someone who will criticize that or are drawn to that. And so there's some underlying things there. So if someone's listening, it's good to get help here and to start to process. There's hope for that. So we talked about the problem. There's a lot more we could say, but well, let's move over to some of the how do we help this? How do we heal? So talk about some of the tools that you are bringing to the table, and specifically in your book, Imagery Stored.
Absolutely. And Tara, one thing I do want to say that I think is very so kind of God. I didn't realize this until after I wrote the book. And you know how you can go back through a Word document and see how many times you've talked about something. Well, the most talked about individual in the book was Jesus. And then right underneath that was my husband, Matt, because even though when him and I met, he did not fully know what I was going through. He did not know my struggles yet, but he was so, he was a big part of my healing journey, and just teaching me, loving me how Christ loves the church, even when I didn't see it in myself yet, even when I wasn't that confident woman yet, right? Like I shouldn't have attracted a confident man, but yet God in his kindness brought me somebody who he knew would teach me just a deeper and a better way. And so I don't go into that in the book. That's just bonus points there. I'm like, that's
because it's not a given, but I do know there's a lot of women that are going, how come this is the dynamic I'm in? And and just to normalize the fact that that's real, but I've got grace. You have a husband. Yeah. And I would say the same for me. And then God has used my husband as well as a cross experiential part of understanding his grace and his love and his delight at every stage of where I'm at in my body. As it's hard to stay in one place. I mean, none of us can stay at that 15-year-old body, and some of us don't want to stay at that 15-year-old body.
Exactly.
So what are some of those tools then that you're bringing to the table?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you hit on this a little bit ago, and this is a huge thing, and that is those unprocessed emotions and thoughts that I am a firm believer in. We've got to get them up and out. And so I wrote the book in such a way that I do know that the words I put in there are powerful, but one of the most powerful things of the book is that I created space for the women to journal and even color to process. Like that's my heart behind it, is that whatever we just read, that we would take time to let the Holy Spirit bring things up that he would like for us to just process. And sometimes that looks like giving ourselves space to write and journal and pray and release some of that. And then sometimes when those bigger, heavier things do come up, then we can go, okay, Lord, maybe I do need to go talk to a counselor or to a pastor or to a friend, and just recognizing the difference. So that's a big tool that I do have in the book, is just that space for people to process. And then I do offer a lot of tools. We can go into some of them if you want, on specific tools in the book that have piqued your interest, if you'd like.
Well, before we do that, because I do think just giving our audience, if they never read your book, I want to give them something that they can start on. And what I'm hearing is room to process. So I call it the cheesy, it's cheesy, but I call it, you have to feel it to heal it. And that is part of the difficulty of all of us numb out those emotions in some way, shape or form, right? And those of us on the body image spectrum in healthy and unhealthy ways, we numb it out by over-exercising or with some extra cookies or withdrawing from food. All these rules and regulations that come along with that occupy the space where we need to feel. But it can be scary, especially if there's a lot of pain in there that we've never had. So there's that piece, the second piece of a counselor or a friend or a mentor that James says, we confess to one another, then we are healed. And so being able to grieve and then be able to talk to one another about that, to tell our story and to be able to tell it in reality, no matter how small or big it is. We minimize our stories every time. That's kind of normal for everyone to be like, oh, there's people that have it worse. I'm like, it's your story and it requires that. So I love that you made space for that and you're inviting people to also maybe to have courage to take the next step. Okay, so a couple tools, maybe give two things that someone could do even today besides get your book. What's one or two things they can start doing to start moving towards a healthier body image, whether it's with their mind, their emotions, or their physical body?
All right, let's see. The two that come to mind currently, let's do one that's internal and then one that is external in relation to people around you. So Yeah, because I'm just like you. I like to be practical, and I never want anybody to feel like that you have to have my book in order to get help. So let's make these tools that you could use just right now with your own. If you have a blank piece of paper that you can get out, that's all you need. One of the things that I did do, and I'm just going to kind of walk y'all through it again. You don't need this piece of paper to do it. Is we start by laying a firm foundation, and then also getting rid of any sinking things that we learned from culture. And so if you have a piece of paper, or if you want to do this later, you can totally do it, but draw a little house and draw a foundation. And we know that the Word of God says that those who build our house on the firm foundation of Christ, when those storms come, that we will not be tossed around. But if we're building it on sinking sand, well, yeah, when the storms come, or when seasons of life change, or something new pops up, or whatever it might be, we're gonna sink. And so we can't be surprised when we sink, because we're building our life, and especially our body image, ideals, and expectations on what culture tells us to do. And so if you can take out a piece of paper and just write down, first of all, what am I honestly standing on? Like, really and truly, when it comes to my body image, what am I standing on? Am I standing on that I think I'm only going to be happy if I weigh a certain amount, or if I fit into this certain thing? Or it could be, like you said, something to do with eating, something like, what is it that you're really standing on, and being honest and creating that space to just be honest with yourself? Please do not censor these answers that come up. Whatever comes up, we're not judging it. We're just saying, all right, that's what's there. It's coming up. And then if you don't like what you're standing on, then go, okay, what would I rather be standing on? What is it I'd rather stand on? And get into God's word and replace those things that you've been standing on with truth from his word. Truth that he says about you in that situation and whatever it may be. And one of the things I love about this exercise is, first of all, the awareness piece. Because I think sometimes, especially as busy women, busy moms, busy leaders, we don't always give ourselves space to process or to really think. We kind of just go, 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 like you said, numb. And we don't always give ourselves that space to say, what is it that I'm really standing on? And what are some core values of mine? And are those things that I want to keep standing on? And if they're not, take the time to replace them. And then again, the beauty of this is new thoughts, new emotions come up. And I want to encourage you that as those new thoughts and emotions come up, don't judge them. Let them come up. Again, we're not here to judge our emotions or anything. Just let them come up. And then if we need to challenge the thoughts later, we can. But give yourself that space to process it, of those two, asking those two questions. What am I standing on? And what would I like to be standing on? And then even just asking, God, what are you asking me to lay down in this area and to surrender and to let somebody else in on this journey?
So good. I love that. And it's a practical kind of visual for people in terms of how to replace, to take those thoughts captive. And what we say is, shrink the gap between what we say we believe, what we preach, and how we're actually living. You have to pause and go, what do I believe? What do I want to believe? Is that really, sinking sand, or is that a solid foundation on Christ? And then building up from there, moving towards some actions. Okay. You said, is that the two, or is there one more?
So that was one that's a little more internal reflection. Mm-hmm. The other one is something I like to teach when it comes to comparison. And I believe that comparison, it robs us of so much in life, but especially when we think of body image, obviously we do compare to other people. But then we also compare to, I'll never forget when my husband said this line to me. He said, Rachel, stop comparing yourself to other women. He said, including your younger self, she's another woman. Because for me in that season, I was comparing me to a very younger version of me. And so this particular though comparison activity that I like to do is more so when we're struggling with comparing to other people, or again, to cultural standards. So even if you don't necessarily have a particular friend that you compare to, but just culture period. And I call it yardsticking. And so if you've ever seen a wooden yardstick, and you can measure something with it. And I like to do three things with a yardstick. And again, if you have that piece of paper out, you can draw yourself a yardstick if you'd like. And I have three R's I want you to remember with the comparison. The first is recognize, then repent, and then rejoice. So recognize is just recognizing, yeah, I'm comparing. This is not serving me at all. In fact, it's just robbing me of my own peace and joy and everything. So recognizing, and again, it goes back to kind of our theme, it seems to be today, of just bringing things into the light and going, giving it a voice and giving it a place to recognize. That's what this is. And then I repent and I just say, Father, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me for comparing myself to my sister Tara, and just repenting, taking ownership of that. But then the third R is one that is hard to do, but it's the one where a lot of the freedom lies, and that's rejoicing over whoever I was comparing to. So, Father, I thank you for Tara. I thank you for how you made her. I thank you for how beautiful her beautiful brown hair and how she just has such a sweet smile. I just pray blessings over her, that you would enlarge her territory. And as we do this, when we rejoice over whoever it was, even if it is that younger version of ourselves, Lord, thank you for that 15-year-old version of me, that she was wired and built the way she needed to be for that season. And that now, almost three decades later, I'm now wired a little bit differently and have a little shape differently, but it's what I need in this season. That rejoice piece releases something over us. Like one, yes. It just releases us to be free right where we are and however God made us. But also, especially if the comparison is, again, between, let's just pretend I was comparing to you, Tara, here. When we're comparing, that yardstick also is dividing us. So now, When we're in relationship and we go, I can't figure out why I can't get close to this person. It's like, we're close, but we're not close. Can't really, not sure what's there. A lot of times it can be a comparison yardstick of, I'm constantly measuring myself up against you. And so whenever I break that yardstick and I just recognize it, I repent of it. And then when I rejoice, it's me breaking it. It's me going, I don't live in a small kingdom. The Lord is a great big God, and he designed us all so differently, gave us all so many gifts and so many talents. I don't need to compare to anybody else, because this is how God designed me. And it's exactly what I need to be, not only physically, but in all the ways, emotionally, spiritually, my gifts and everything, because of where he's planted and the plan he has for me. And you succeeding does not affect anything in my life. In fact, in the kingdom mindset, we all succeed when one of us succeeds.
I love it. I love it. And thank you for that, because it is a freedom to live from that I think you and I have had years of practice. It takes time, but there's so much freedom, and women can feel it from other women when there's a yardstick there, when there's not. And this sense of, when I'm not thinking about me when I enter the room, because I'm here to just be, I know I'm accepted, I'm loved, and I'm here on purpose. Lord, use me. And I've got eyes to be able to see and to draw out all those other women and to love on them. And so there's a freedom there. It also happens in our home with our girls as well. And so all these moms who are raising girls, or even those that are raising boys, as boys start to interact with girls and you as a woman to understand. So there's so much work for all of us to do here. And yet I do love this piece, Rachel, as I listen to things that you share. You are saying it's possible to live in freedom. It's possible. And I want women and men to hear that. We do not have to stay in these chains. We live in a culture that just claims that this is our normal, that we're all just working hard to keep our bodies young or in a certain image, and we don't have to do that. And these temples of ours, these bodies, are gifts to be able to serve and to do the work that God has created for us before we were even born. And so to reframe, to start to see our bodies as friends, and how we would talk to our friends. I hope we don't tell our friends, hey girl, you need to lose some weight. I hope we talk in words of encouragement and of grace, and to be able to say, yeah, you just had a baby. Are you kidding me? Like, give yourself some time. Or I love that we have these hips from years of serving and making kids, and they get me from here to there. So I want you to end with maybe one last, maybe a prayer or word of encouragement for our audience, and then we'll talk about where to get your book.
Sure. Yeah. I would love to, you mentioned a prayer. Would you like me to pray over
love
the audience?
It. You pray over. Yeah.
I would love that. I love to pray. And I feel like something shifts when we pray. So yeah, that'd be perfect.
All right, you go for it.
Thank you. Father, I just thank you for every single person who is sitting under the sound of my voice. And listeners, if you're in a posture to be able to just open your palms and receive from the Lord, feel free to do so. And Lord, we just welcome you into this space. God, we thank you that giving us bodies was your design. We thank you that our bodies are blessed because of you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you reside in us. And as it is you within us, Jesus, that reflects the image of God. May we all just sit confidently in who we are in Christ. In any area where the enemy has brought distortion, lies, deception, anything that is not from you, Lord, bring it up and out. I ask that everybody here who is listening is able to create space to process, that you would bring up emotions and thoughts and things that you are saying, it's time to bring these things up and out. It's time to release these things. I speak healing over trauma. Jesus, I know that you see that pain. You sit with us in that pain. You came for that pain and you experienced it yourself. Please bring healing into areas of hearts that only you would know about. Bring the help that each individual might need. I just ask for a complete restoration, mind, soul, body, and spirit. May our mind and our body just connect. May we receive your unconditional love and grace over us today. It is in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rachel. All right. So if somebody would like to learn more about you or get your book, Image Restored, where can they find that?
My book, you can go to imagerestoredbook.com and learn more about it and all those things. And then my main hub is my website, rachelgilbert.com. You do spell my name, R-A-C-H-A-E-L. Thanks, Mom and Dad, for the extra A in there. And yeah, there you can find all the things, my podcast, anything you'd ever want to know about me, probably, and then some.
Wonderful. Well, it's been lovely to have you. And I just want to say to those that are maybe struggling or walking with someone else who's struggling, it's good to get someone on board. What Rachel and I do for a living and our expertise, counselors have a lot of tools in their tool belt, and really being able to go slow and take our time to really do this well. So don't shame yourself if you're not healed after this prayer here today, but actually it's going to take some time. God is a trauma-informed God. He knows it takes time. And that's really all trauma-informed is that he meets us right where we're at, and he goes with us at that pace. So get someone on board with you who understands the complexity of both the addiction side of body image struggles and all of the eating disordered possibilities, as well as just the mind, the heart, and the body restoration that needs to happen in the process. So we're in this with you. Both Rachel and I are examples of God's healing, but we both have had to do our work. So we're encouraging you to do yours. And if you are raising a daughter today, I want you to go to mycourageousgirls.com and learn about how to do this kind of work in groups where you're raising up a girl who knows she is loved and loves others well. She doesn't fall into the trap of comparison. She knows how to process her emotions. She loves her body well, good relationship with food and exercise, all the things. You can do that at every stage of her growing years from second grade to high school. Or you can also learn about our Raising Confident Daughter courses, where you can do this one-to-one with her. Go to mycourageousgirls.com and you'll find everything you need there. Until then, I look forward to seeing you next week, and for joining us every week. Be the leader that you would follow. We're so grateful for you and the journey to shrink the gap between what we say we want to do and how we actually live.
This podcast is powered by Living Wholehearted, Courageous Girls, and the Christian Parenting Podcast Network. Thank you for joining us in this critical movement of shrinking our integrity gaps between what we preach and live.